Dirac described his roots in the rural villages of Bordeaux in western France, and how his family migrated to the Swiss canton of Valais at the end of the 18th century. It was in Monté, one of the region's industrial towns, that his father was born. And as soon as Dirac began to talk about his father, he became agitated, and he turned away from his wife and from Kurt Hofer, adjusting his pose so that he was staring straight into the fireplace. Hofer was now looking directly at the profile of the top half of Dirac's body, his hunched shoulders, his high forehead, his straight and upward-pointing nose, his white smudge of a moustache. The air conditioning and television were switched off, so the room was silent except for the occasional rumblings of traffic, the barking of neighbourhood dogs, the rattling of the lid on the simmering casserole in the kitchen. After spelling out his ancestry with the precision of a genealogist, Dirac reached the part of the story where his father arrived in Bristol, married Dirac's mother, and started a family. His language remained simple and direct, but as he began to talk about his childhood, his voice tightened. Hofer, watching Dirac's silhouette sharpen with the fading of the early evening light, was transfixed. "I never knew love or affection when I was a child," Dirac said, the normally neutral tone of his voice perceptibly tinged with sorrow. One of his main regrets was that he, his brother and younger sister had no social life, but spent most of their time indoors. "We never had any visitors," he said. The family was dominated, Dirac recalled, by his father, a tyrant who bullied his wife day in, day out, and insisted that their three children speak to him in his native French, never in English. At mealtimes, the family split into two. His mother and siblings would eat in the kitchen and speak in English, while Dirac sat in the dining room with his father, speaking only in French. This made every meal an ordeal for Dirac. He had no talent for languages, and his father was an unforgiving teacher. Whenever Dirac made a slip, a mispronunciation, a wrongly gendered noun, a botched subjunctive, his father made it a rule to refuse his next request. This caused the young Dirac terrible distress. Even at that time, he had digestive problems and often felt sick when he was eating. But his father would refuse him permission to leave the table if he'd made a linguistic error. Dirac would then have no option but to sit still and vomit. This did not happen occasionally, but over and over again, for years. Kurt Hofer was aghast, scarcely able to believe his ears. "I felt extremely embarrassed, like I was witnessing a friend pouring out his most terrible secrets to his psychiatrist," he recalls. He was a man famous for his equability and his almost pathological reticence, openly talking of the demons that had haunted him for nearly 70 years. And he was as angry as if those awful events had happened yesterday.